we come into another beautiful day that God has given us to gather together in his house. And today I want to take just a little bit of your time, and thank you for coming. But I was looking at, and we shared already some of it about in Sunday school out of James 4, 7, and 8. But in James 4, it talks about therefore submitting to God. And as we get there, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4, 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Sounds like pretty good advice, doesn't it? Draw near to God. He's going to draw near to you. We wonder sometimes, well, how hard can it be to get close to God? It should be pretty simple, huh? We'll get into some things here, and we'll find out possibly that, you know, we've got someone that's going against that notion. We've got an enemy, you know, it's a fight in the spirit realm for sure. It's what the Word of God says. But there is a battle taking place, and the devil does not want anybody to draw near to God. Those that are lost and dying out in the world, the devil could care less. They're out there dying and lost in the world. He doesn't need to do really anything else in their lives because he's got them right where he wants them. I think it's those that have connected to God, that have changed their lives, beginning to change their lives, that all of a sudden the devil notices that, and he's going to try to upset the apple cart, do you think? Because he doesn't want us going to God. He doesn't want us to draw close to him. But before I get into that, you know, when I desired, and I just kind of put this together, and, you know, thinking back when my wife and myself, we started to date, I needed to make an effort to draw close to her if I really wanted to get to know her more, and eventually what our life has turned out to be, you know, well over 40 years of marriage, going into 43 years of marriage, as I was saying. But it took time. It took a development of times and things to growing. And you know, you see out of that relationship a wonderful family of four kids and grandkids and all. But it takes that initial time of growing together early on to get to know one another, to draw close to one another. It seemed pretty simple to do. All I needed to do was just what? Spend time with the person you are developing a love for. You know, you talk, you listen, you share about one another. You begin to learn about one another. You get to know one another. And so as I look at my natural life of how I've sustained this, and has it been, we've had rough ups and downs in those years of marriage, you know, but, you know, what life doesn't have those things and how you work through them? I don't think you can get married and be married 50 years and say you've never had some rough waters to go through or some things that had come against it. Because here again, guys, marriage is ideal for the things what God says. You know, God looks at the marriage as that of the church as well. And so, see, the enemy looks at these things that God points out or that is important to God, and the enemy wants to infiltrate those areas to try to upset, as we would say, the apple cart. Not that I've ever done that, but I've heard that said many times, especially back in the olden days, huh? We don't have apple carts anymore, you know. It's all in the produce section at the grocery store. But to upset the apple cart, the enemy, the devil, Satan wants to upset that apple cart of your life and what you're doing, even as a husband and wife, because it's so close to what God is about and the church and the marriage of the church to him and the bride. But it takes time for any of that to develop. Why would we not think it would take time for us to have that same development time with God? It says in his word then, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It continues on, and it says this in 4:8, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I've got some things pegged here real quick this morning that hit me, so I'm going to go, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, it says in John 1, let's see, do I have it here? 1:9, I'm going to jump there real quick. John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And before that, it says, if you have no sin, you know, you're deceiving yourself. A lot of people deceiving themselves out there, you know. But in John, 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So here it is. Throughout God's word, he's telling us about draw close to him. He's talking about cleanse your hands, you sinners. You know, he's given us the opportunity and the ways to do that. And then it goes in, and to purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm going to quickly, in 1 John 3:3, I'm going to go there. You don't have to go there, but something that came to my heart here as I was looking at this, when it says, again, purifying your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts. 1 John 3:3 says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, as he is pure is talking about Christ, amen? But if you're thinking about purifying ourselves, it's the adjective that describes a person or a thing as clean, modest, pure, undefiled, morally faultless, without blemish. Now, the only one that was without blemish was who? Christ, Jesus. But as we look at this, we want to become like that, not that we're going to be faultless and blemish. Our sins have been blotted out, of course, by what? The blood of Christ. But as we are looking at this now, James is saying, he's trying to help us with this understanding, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Remember, if you confess your sins, he's going to forgive you. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. We've got a lot of people with double minds out here. Probably we've got a lot of people in our churches even with double minds. They may not think it, but, you know, if you kind of pay attention and kind of see where they're coming from or going to or not where they're going, you know, where we're looking, and I see a lot of that have had, and it's within the church as well, double-mindedness. And it's talking and talks about double-mindedness. A person attempting to hold on to God and the world at the same time. You know, it seems like it would be an easy thing to do. I want just a little bit of God to make things good, and I want to have a little bit of the world to make things fun. We don't realize that we can have a good and fun time with God. We can have a good and fun time with God. We don't need to say, well, I need to stay enough in the world so that I can have fun and enjoy life. You really find in the world, your life that you're enjoying is temporal, it's passing away. In that fun in the world is actually drawing life out of you, amen? It's eating you up. It's taking everything that you've got, every little ounce of energy. Eventually, the world is drawing it out of you, and eventually the world will say, enough of you, go on, we're done. But in God's kingdom, we find ourselves having a good relationship, and we're also having fun. Are you as a Christian, as you in his kingdom, God's kingdom, are you not having fun? Amen. I have barrels of laughs. I enjoy and laugh and see a lot of things, and it's just a fun time with the things of God. You know, serving God is not drudgery. Serving God is not a death sentence. The death sentence is over here in the world. The life sentence is over here in God. Because as I serve my life here on this earth with God, when the time comes he calls me home, I'm going to have life eternally anyway. Now we don't realize that this is all temporary. You know, we look at 100 years, 50 years, 80 years, 90. We look at that as a long time, don't we? You know, oh, lifespan, 72 years, you know, lifespan, 83 years, whatever the case is. And we think, wow, that's pretty long. Well, it's only as long until you're about like 60, 65, and 70, and they're saying lifespan is 78, whatever, pick a number, arbitrarily, pick a number. And when I was 10 and 12 and 13 and 15, lifespan back then was probably 70. It seemed like a long ways away, 70, woo, wow. And now I'm at the age my dad was at. Now I'm at that age that's like, oh, now it's 60, 62. I just had a birth. Well, no, I haven't had a birthday. I'm still 61. I'm claiming 61. 62 will come fast enough. But as you get to that age, you're thinking, well, 80 doesn't seem too far from now. It's only like 20 years or thereabouts, or 18 years, you know. It's a perspective, I suppose. But we think of it in the beginning that life is long, and boy, this is a long time on this earth. But it's nothing but a blink of an eye compared to eternity. Into where we're going to spend that time, amen, with our Lord and Savior when that time comes. So isn't it wonderful to have the best of both worlds? We can be upon this planet, on this sphere, what God has put together, and we can enjoy it. And I do enjoy the scenery, the animals, the beauty, the sky, the sun, the moon, the 105 temperature. Not. Give me the 72.3 degrees and I'll be loving it all, you know, for summer. That's high enough for me. 69, 68 for summer is good for me. Some people would probably argue with that. But I can see the wonderfulness of God on this side of heaven. And so I want to be here as long as I can. I want to do what I can for him. I want to serve him. And, you know, when the time comes, it's one of those things that's, how do you want to die? You know, well, it's like, do you want to die just marching for him and serving him? And there's all of a sudden, you're just like, boom, what happened? Well, he was out praying for somebody. He passed out, died instantly. He's in heaven. What a way to go. You know, I don't know how the Lord is calling us all home, but we got to look at it and not look at, well, we're going to be going home soon, as to what am I going to do while I'm here, Lord? What do you want us to do? What can you do in me? He's saying, James is saying, he says, draw close to him and he'll draw close to you. He's saying, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I've got to get single-minded focused. That single-minded focus is going to be that upon God. If you looked at that as far as double-mindedness, Psalms 119, verse 113 talks about a double-mindedness. And in there, I'm looking at it there in double-mindedness. And it actually talks about a division or a divided in your heart and mind. You're divided in your heart, you're divided in your mind. God's Word tells us to renew our minds, amen? Renewing your minds, I think, will help get rid of double-mindedness. When it talks about, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. As we talk about, Lord, cleanse my heart. Lord, purify these things. It's sometimes a double connection there. Heart and mind, mind and heart. So when we think about this, and as he's saying, you double-minded people, it could be that you're divided in your heart, you're divided in your mind, and he's saying you can't be that. You've got to have a single focus. Amen? And it's got to be God's focus. We can't hold on to the world and also think of things of the kingdom of God. It is so hard to do. It causes frustrations. It causes, oh, my goodness. One other area here where it talks about the Lord will be with you as you seek him. In 2 Chronicles, you don't need to turn there, but 2 Chronicles, you can look later. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 2. Azariah, he meets up with Asa. Now, Asa has just gone to battle. He's come out. Asa has been fulfilling the things of the Lord. He's going through and taking down idols. He's just doing wonderful things in Judah. He's all these things. Asa is going out. He's got an army. He's battling the bad. And I think it was like Ethiopians or something like that. Ethiopians were coming against him. And they had like a million or something like that coming against Asa and the 800,000 people that he had. Anyway, we get a little bit into it, but this is what happens when Azariah meets up with Asa in 15:2, 2 Chronicles 15:2, and he says this, the Lord is with you. The Lord has spoken to Azariah here, and he's saying, the Lord is with you while you seek him. The Lord is with you while you seek him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So what is that telling us? Even today, I know that was Old Testament, but the same God back then, I think, is the same God today, don't you? That he's saying this through Azariah to Asa. The Lord spoke to this to Azariah, and he's repeating it now to Asa, saying, the Lord is with you. And this is, he's getting ready to do this battle. He's got millions of Ethiopians that are coming against him. You go through the whole story, he comes victorious, the God is battling it for him, they plunder, Asa and his group gets all the plunders of things, And they just go on continuing to conquer things and getting rid of idols, doing these things for God. But the Lord is with you while you seek him. I'm telling you today that the Lord is with you while you seek him. Amen. The Lord will be with you as you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen. Love the Lord. But you're seeking him, he's going to be found by you. It says he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. If you abandon God, if you renounce your allegiance to God, if you turn away from God, that's what that, when you think about forsake, that's what that kind of is conjuring up. To forsake something is to abandon, renounce, turn away. God says, but our Azariah fell on Asa is what the Lord spoke to him. But the Lord is saying this, Asa, if you abandon him, if you renounce him, if you turn away from your God, he will do the same to you. You see, God loves us, but God has a standard. God loves us as we're serving him, as we're following him, as we're surrendering to him, as we're doing all these things to him. God is there for you. Amen? But don't forsake him because he will forsake you. If I go back to 4:7, James 4:7, and I'm just going to read it through verse 10. So I'm going back to James now. We've got kind of an idea of double-mindedness. We've got back in 2 Chronicles how God was with Asa back then, but he said he'll be found. If you seek him, you'll find him. I'm telling you today, I will guarantee it that if you are seeking out after God, you will find him. God will not run from you and hide from you. He's not going to, woohoo, I'm over here, Tim, come and get me. And then as I'm coming this way, he ducks down behind a bush and he goes somewhere else. And I go, wait a minute, where are you at, God? You said you're right here. Oh, Tim, I'm over here now. You know, it's not that. If you are honestly seeking God into your life, into your circumstance, into your situation, you will find God in that. Amen. That's a wonderful trust and by faith. And that's why we can have that faith. That's why we can have that trust. That's why we can look at things a whole lot different than what the world looks at them, because I've got a God that throughout the scriptures tells me that he's for me, that he's there with me, that he won't forsake me. But I've got to be found after him. I've got to be drawing close to him. I've got to be changing my life to be more like him. I've got to let his righteousness come into my life and take my filthy rags away. I need him. How about you? Amen. So I'm going to start here. Let's go in 4:7 here. We're making good time. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will what? Lift you up. Hallelujah. Praise God, he's going to lift me up. Set me up high. Hallelujah. Not for people to look at me and say, ooh, look at Tim. But I'm just going to be a child of his. I love my Father in heaven. Lament and mourn and weep, you laughter be turned into mourning. He's saying, you know, this is serious. That way of life that you had, the sins that you had and all that, that was hurtful to God. You know, we're thinking, ooh, I'm having a good time. Life is good. Nothing's going on. I'm enjoying it. I'm doing all this and raising you know what. But lament and mourn and weep. And let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. It's not going to stay there, but it's just to let us know that this is serious. You're hooting and hollering over here when you're outside the realms of God. But then you got to realize, wow, I was away from God, my Creator. I'm sure I hurt him. I might have spoken against him. I might have used his name in vain. I may have laughed at him. I may have mocked. I may have gotten into the wrong crowd, and I could have done all kinds of things. Oh my gosh. become sorrowful and say, Father, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I'm sorry for what I've not done right. I'm sorry for whatever, lying, stealing, I don't know, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever we've done. It's not necessarily those things. I'm sorry for gossiping. I'm sorry for having bitterness. I'm sorry for hating that person. I'm sorry. Because now as I find out through you that all of those things are serious, serious consequences for me. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will then lift you up. There's a time then after we lament and we are mournful, we don't stay in that, do we? No, because after we ask for that forgiveness, after we've said, oh, Father, I'm sorry, forgive me. Oh, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for what I've said to this person or that person. Forgive me for what I've done or not done. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Lord. And we find that he's forgiving us by that of the blood of Christ. Amen. The sins and all are washed away. And when that comes away and we get washed of our sins, we feel a load has been taken off of us, don't you? You feel like something has just been lifted off, a burden. And when that happens, you begin to feel a joy and something that you've not felt possibly for years or decades, because this was the world coming in on you. This was the fun of the world. This was the laughter of the world. Oh, yeah, I'm having fun, but boy, my burden down. Now as I've been sorrowful and I've asked for forgiveness, God has taken those things and that burden off of me, and now I feel better. I feel like I can live again. And he will lift you up. He will bring joy in a way that's joy of his. Amen. For the joy of the Lord does good like a miracle. Let's see. What is it? Joy of the heart of a child. Huh? It's like a health. It's like a medicine. I've always thought of that, you know, as far as the cheerfulness and things of that nature and all that is it's a medicine to us. It's not a proverb. I got my lines here all mixed up. But I'm going to tell you the basics of it is the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. That starts coming around now. Merry heart. A merry heart. Talks about, you know, we talked earlier about having double-mindedness and have a split mind, a split heart. I'm going to tell you, when you get that heart fullness, the whole totality of the heart for that of God and the kingdom, a merry heart doeth good. When you get your mind from being divided to the world and to his kingdom and say, this is just a kingdom mindset, you're going to have a strong mind. Amen? Hallelujah. What is coming against so many of us now? Just battles of the things. And, you know, we got to be totally sold out and tuned into God. Amen. Now, I'm going to kind of look at this real quick. It's only 11:30. We're doing fine. In the book of James, we find five ways to help us draw near to God. So this is trying to draw us, or this will kind of help us, and it's going to go back through just a little bit what we've gone through already. Number one is to humble ourselves before God. You've got to be humble. What's that old song? Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Well, a lot of people out there think we're perfect. A lot of people out there think I'm perfect. Nothing wrong with me. But, oh, boy, you got to become humble and say, oh, Lord. Humble ourselves before God. Yield to his authority and his will. Commit our lives to him and allow him to have control over us and for us to be willing to follow him. I had said in Sunday school, it sounds bad when you say, let him have control over you, but really it's not the control like, you know, a thumb on you and I'm going to just mash you into the ground. Let him control your life. You know, let him, you know, the footsteps of the good, you know, let him order your footsteps. Let him put you on the path that he wants. Amen. But it says, commit our lives to him. Allow him to have control over you. Be willing to follow him. So many times we're willing to give ourselves to certain situations, but then when we have to follow a situation, we go, I don't want to do that. That's not what I bargained for. That's not what I bought into this thing for. I don't want to do it. We've got to follow him in all of his ways. Number two, here again, resist the devil. Talks about that. Talked about humbling ourselves before God. Now resist the devil. You can't allow Satan to entice and tempt you. The devil, Satan, wants to entice and tempt you in everything that he can. And just when you think he can't, be careful, because he will come back and try it again. And he may wait and come back again. Eventually he may get tired, I don't know. But he did say something in the wilderness there with Jesus when he got out into the wilderness. And Jesus, he finally told him, "Get behind me, Satan." And he said he left him for a more opportune time. Resist the devil. Number three, wash your hands and purify your heart. Now, washing your hands and purifying your hearts, that's telling us to lead a pure life. You know, ask for forgiveness, cleanse, get the blood of Jesus, wash your sins away. But it says, really, we need to lead a pure life. We need to cleanse ourselves of sin. Now, we can't cleanse ourselves of sin, per se, but we receive it through that of Christ. Amen? We receive Jesus. And, you know, we come back even after, maybe years later, we're children of God, but something has happened. We say, "Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned. Lord, take this sin from me. I ask for your forgiveness." Here again, the blood of Jesus washes you clean. We need to cleanse ourselves of sin, replacing the old nature we've had of sinning with the desire to have God's purity in our new lives after receiving Jesus as our Lord. I tell you what, it all changes when we have Jesus as our Lord. Things begin to change in your life, don't they? It all starts getting, it's like you get turned upside down. I don't know if it's necessarily that we get turned upside down. I think maybe we get turned right side up to the things of God. Maybe when we're going through this life, it's when we're upside down and everything's this way, but then I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, and things change, and all of a sudden I'm uprighted like this. And now I can see things a little bit more clearer. And I can see that's not good. I shouldn't do that. That's what, God doesn't like that. But when you're upside down, you don't really know that. So I don't think it's when I got saved that I got turned right. I was upside down in the world, but now I'm right with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Have sorrow and deep grief for the sins in your life. Sometimes you need to, I'm like, remember where you've come from and what he's brought you from and how he's forgiven you, because that's the thing, like, man, if you can forgive me, and you know, you go out to talk to somebody about Christ and saying, "Boy, you know, he's such a good, loving God, he'll forgive you," and they'll say, "Oh, no, I'm such a bad sinner. Ain't nobody been a sinner bad as me. There is no sin that would keep you from him." You know? The only thing is you get into the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but that's another topic out there. I'm just saying, as you're visiting with people and they think that their sin has gotten them so deep and so far away from God, God can bring them back up. Amen? He can draw them up. So sorrow and deep grief for your sins, yes, but we need to express heartfelt sorrow for the past, but I'm not going to live in the past. I'm thanking God for what he's done from my past. Amen. We've all had a past. Amen. What was that? Didn't touch a thing. The power of Pentecost. Well, now I'm really loud here now. I don't know what happened here. But we forgive you. I hope you didn't piddle yourself and have a wet seat now, but that could have done it to any of us, myself included. Woo! Well, that's nice when you're a sound person and something like that happens. You don't know what, you didn't even touch anything, and all of a sudden something happens. It's like, I don't know. But anyway, as we get into it, you know, we find out that, you know, I'm not going to remember my past, but I remember that God brought me out of that, and he took those things from me. And I know my Lord is not remembering my past, and why should I? But, you know, sometimes we look at our past and we kind of like where we've come from. It's almost like if you're looking and researching family history and all that, and I've been doing that and I've shared about that, but kind of just finding where are you from? How did you get here to this point? You know, as I look at it in my walk with God, how did I get to this point with my relationship with God right here? And you look back and you go, wow, I've come all the way from back there, intertwined here, went up a hill, down a hill, over a curve, down here, up, whatever. And now God has me here. It's just sometimes to recall, to say, oh, you're a good, good God. You're a loving God. Even back then, you loved me. you cared for me back then. I didn't realize it, but I do now by what I read and how I find this relationship with you. And then I just keep going, as we all do. We just keep walking out God's work in our lives, and we keep serving and going, and then maybe we get to a point and we stop, and we get a time of just thanking him and thinking about things and where our life has gone to and where that God has taken us. And then we kind of look back and we go, oh my Lord, what a loving and caring God, from where I've come to where I am. And I look forward, God, knowing that you have some great plans and a great future for me. Be with me and help me reach those plans. Help me reach that destiny that you have. Amen. The fifth thing is to bow down before the Lord, and in doing so, He will lift you up as we bow down. Bow down before him. Honor him. Recognize him for who he is. Bow down before the Lord. He is a Lord. Amen. You think of Lord. Lord has a power. Lord is authority. Lord is, you know, sometimes we get wishy-washy with Lord and thinking like, it's just a run-of-the-mill Lord, you know. But he's Lord. And see, we've said this many times. Is he truly Lord of your life? Have you surrendered everything to him? Have you invited him into every part of your life, every part of your being, every part of your home, whatever the case might be? Is he Lord over you? When we reach that level, I don't know when that comes, just think how wonderful it is. And it's wonderful where it's at now as we've grown and developed and grown and developed and grown and developed. But we continue to grow and develop, amen, on this side of heaven. None of us in this room have arrived. You all have something you need to clean up in your life to be closer to God. I don't know what it is. But I just know in this life, I'm not saying you're foul-mouthed sinners and all that. I'm just saying there's things that you still might have that, you know, myself included, that I've got to be paying attention to and just say, if there's ever anything in me, Lord, that will detract from you, show it to me and let's get rid of it. Help me understand these things. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I come over here and somebody's in this room and they go, I have nothing in my life that I haven't given over to God, I think you're making God a liar, because he says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And many of us get in that prideful thing after we've been with him for even 50 years. We go, you'd probably ask Billy Graham, was he a perfect man? He would probably say, no, I've had some faults. Yeah, I don't know for sure, but just kind of his tenderness and how he was understanding of the things of God, you know, it's just those things. The thing is, if all of a sudden you get upset with somebody, that's a sin. I don't care if it's like a fleeting moment. You know, ooh, boy, that upsets me. Why is the company doing it this way? That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Well, you know, this person, that person, this store, that store. Just go shopping. You get upset a lot of times out there. Just order a take-home item and go home and open it up and they didn't give you what you ordered. What? I drove all that way and I called back. They're like, well, would you want to come and get it? No, I don't want to come back over there. Well, we'll give you credit or something. Well, that's fine. I really don't want the credit. I just want my food right the first time, you know. All these little things we get into. See, this world will try you out in those things, and it's depending upon how you receive them and how you react to them and where you're at in the things of God. You know, it's just like you call and say, hey, my order was wrong, and, well, we're sorry. Well, I understand accidents happen, but I just wish it would be more, you know, whatever the case is. You know, you go shopping and something happens or whatever the case. I mean, we went and one time we went and picked up, you know, like the towels and all that, and I don't know if we got home or out to the car. I can't remember. I was out of the car right in the parking lot. We were looking at them and go, wait, we're short of washcloth or something like that. Well, somehow it wasn't them. It wasn't on my receipt. I went back into the receipt and I was looking at it and it's going like, well, wait, they didn't charge us for it, so I guess that's why it's not in the bag. Somehow I lost it probably shopping and it fell out of the cart. I don't know, you know. So this last week we went and as we're leaving, Dean goes, here's two towels, here's one hand towel, here's two washcloths. Put them right here and watch them. Keep them right in the front, honey. I'll watch them all the way through the store. Put them up on the counter. Okay. Once I put them on the counter, it was her responsibility to put them in the bag. I said, my responsibility is done. But it all came together. But it's just little things, you know. And I think that's those things out in life and out in the world. You'll have struggles. You'll have problems. Somebody will call you. We get really frustrated now when all these calls coming in and they're all just scams and people calling just to sell you something. And, we don't have a timeshare, but somebody wants to keep buying our timeshare. I don't know why. It's like, timeshare? I've never had a timeshare in my life. What are you talking about? They want to give you a trip to wherever, for points and all this. No. But, these things frustrate you and all, and how you handle them and all this thing. But I think it's just in life and where we're at. But I know that as I draw close to God, He's drawing close to me. And He will see me through these struggles. He will see me through these ups and downs. Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm down in here and I'm dealing with something, my God is right there with me. And as I see those things, and as I see Him, and I pray to Him, and I ask Him, I see Him lifting us up. And then we're saying, okay, life is good. It's all going to be okay. My God is in control, amen? And He can do that for you as well. In closing, 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. It talks about, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's His timing, not mine. Casting all of my cares upon Him, for He cares for me. We all realize that we do not deserve God's favor, but He wants to lift us up and give us self-worth and dignity, despite our human shortcomings. By us bowing down before the Lord, it is saying that we recognize our worth comes from God, and to be humble involves leaning on His power and on His guidance, and for us not to go on our own independent way through life. We need to cast our cares upon Him. Amen. Father God, as we come to this time, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how it encourages us, it enriches us in life. Father, I pray for each one here today, Lord, that they would find this uplifting and encouraging, drawing close to You and You drawing close to them. That as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of You, Lord, we thank You, Father, as we cast our cares upon You and how You will take care of them. Father, if we could just give You all of our concerns and all of our worries, and then take the time that we would take worry in and turn that worry time into praise time, into worship time, You would be much more happier with us. Father, so may we find more of our times praising You and worshiping You than complaining and aggravation and going through this life. For we turn it over to You, Lord. This day, our tomorrow, whatever the next day is, Lord, I just pray that each one of us here today, as we come across things, Father, that we can quickly cast our care upon You because You care for us. And then I'm going to take time and I'm going to say, I love You, Father. I worship You, God. Thank You for Your love and care for me. Oh, Father, I just want to serve You and be found faithful by You. And all these things that we do, Lord, it's to bring honor and glory to You. May those around us not see us, but see You in us. May we be able to point them to You and say, oh, but it's my Father in heaven that's taking care of these things for me. He can take care of them for You as well. We love You, Father. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a wonderful day. Be blessed.